Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Manufacturing Delusion, How the Left Uses Brainwashing, Indoctrination, and Propaganda Against You is a work of conservative political commentary by Buck Sexton, a commentator and former CIA officer. The book examines propaganda, ideological conformity, and psychological influence through a strongly partisan argument about contemporary American politics. Sexton presents mass delusion as a recurring political danger, drawing connections between historical systems of coercive control and modern disputes over public health, gender, racial justice, gun control, media narratives, and institutional authority. Its purpose is not to offer a neutral survey of persuasion across all political movements, but to warn readers that forms of social pressure and narrative enforcement can make people accept ideas they might otherwise question. The book combines historical examples, political critique, and accessible discussion of crowd psychology to argue that citizens need sharper habits of skepticism, especially when moral certainty, fear, and repetition are used to suppress dissent. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, historical totalitarianism as the framework for modern persuasion. A central feature of manufacturing delusion is Sexton's use of 20th century authoritarianism as a lens for interpreting present-day ideological pressure. Rather than treating propaganda as only a matter of media bias or political messaging, he places it within a broader history of regimes that sought to reshape perception itself. The book refers to examples associated with Stalinist control, Chinese thought reform, and jihadist radicalization to show how movements can make compliance feel necessary, moral, or even inevitable. The reasoning is that mass delusion rarely begins with open force alone. It develops through repeated claims, institutional reinforcement, fear of exclusion, and the narrowing of acceptable speech. This historical framing gives Sexton a larger vocabulary for his argument. Persuasion becomes dangerous when it moves beyond debate and into the management of reality. The comparison is intentionally provocative because it asks readers to consider whether softer forms of social and institutional pressure can resemble earlier coercive patterns. The limitation is that such comparisons require caution, since democratic societies are not totalitarian regimes. Still, the framework helps explain why the book treats propaganda as a civic danger rather than merely a partisan communications problem. Secondly, the 8 tactics of mass delusion and the mechanics of compliance. The book is organized around the idea that mass delusion can be produced through identifiable tactics rather than through random confusion. Sexton describes mechanisms such as Pavlovian conditioning, thought reform, weaponized fear, repetition, moral intimidation, and the stigmatizing of dissent as ways that people can be pushed toward conformity. The practical point is that propaganda works most effectively when it does not feel like propaganda. If a message is repeated by media, schools, corporations, public officials, and social networks, it can acquire the appearance of obvious truth before individuals have examined it closely. Fear also plays a major role, because people may silence themselves to avoid professional, social, or reputational penalties. Sexton's argument emphasizes that compliance is often psychological before it is legal. People begin to adjust their language, adopt approved assumptions, and doubt their own judgment because the surrounding environment rewards agreement. This makes the book less about isolated falsehoods and more about the conditions that make false or exaggerated narratives socially durable. Its analytical value lies in encouraging readers to ask who benefits from a consensus, how it was formed, and what happens to those who challenge it. Thirdly, contemporary American institutions as channels of ideological reinforcement. Sexton applies his account of mass persuasion to contemporary American institutions, especially media ecosystems, education, corporate messaging, and political advocacy. His claim is that ideas associated with the political left can become dominant not simply because people freely evaluate them, but because institutions repeat them in coordinated or mutually reinforcing ways. The book discusses public health, gender, racial justice, and gun control as areas where Sexton believes narrative enforcement discourages open disagreement. His reasoning depends on the cumulative effect of authority when news outlets, professional organizations, universities, entertainment platforms, and employers promote similar moral language. Dissent can be framed as ignorance or malice rather than as a legitimate position. This is important to the book because it shifts attention from individual persuasion to institutional atmosphere. A person may not be directly forced to adopt an opinion, but may face incentives to conform and disincentives to ask difficult questions. Readers who share Sexton's political concerns will likely see this as a clear explanation of cultural pressure. Readers outside that alignment may find the institutional critique too selective. Since the book concentrates on left-leaning influence and gives less attention to propaganda or conformity within conservative spaces, Fourthly, gun control is an example of fear-based political messaging. One of the more concrete applications of Sexton's argument is his treatment of gun control as a manufactured delusion. As a public supporter of Second Amendment rights and a firearms instructor, he approaches the issue from a clearly pro-gun rights position. In this context, the book argues that gun control advocacy often relies on emotional shock, selective framing, and fear-based appeals that lead citizens to support restrictions on their own liberties. The reasoning is not merely that Sexton disagrees with gun control policy, but that he sees the debate as an example of how political movements can convert tragedy into a simplified moral narrative. And in such narratives, one side is presented as compassionate and responsible, while opponents are treated as indifferent to violence. This connects directly to the broader thesis of the book: propaganda succeeds when it makes policy disagreement feel morally forbidden. The example also shows why manufacturing delusion is positioned within conservative political commentary rather than neutral media studies. Sexton's analysis is closely tied to constitutional liberty, distrust of centralized authority, and the belief that emotionally charged public campaigns can obscure practical trade-offs. That focus will be compelling to gun rights readers and controversial to those who see regulation as a legitimate public safety response. Lastly, critical thinking as resistance to narrative control. Although manufacturing delusion is sharply political, its practical emphasis is on recognizing patterns of manipulation before they become accepted habits of thought. Sexton encourages readers to question consensus narratives, examine the incentives of institutions, and notice when disagreement is being pathologized rather than answered. This is one of the book's more broadly applicable themes, because propaganda does not require every claim to be false. It can also work by selecting facts, amplifying emotional examples, suppressing context, or presenting one interpretation as the only morally acceptable one. The book's value for media literacy lies in this attention to process. Readers are pushed to ask whether a message depends on evidence, authority, repetition, shame, fear, or social belonging. Sexton also stresses personal agency citizens. Retain responsibility for what they believe, even when the information environment is noisy and coercive. The strength of this approach is its insistence that skepticism should be active rather than reactive. The weakness is that the book's partisan focus may encourage some readers to apply skepticism mainly to ideological opponents. Its strongest use, therefore, is as a tool for examining persuasive pressure while remaining aware that all political camps can produce their own forms of narrative control. In conclusion, Manufacturing Delusion is best suited for readers interested in conservative political commentary, propaganda studies from a right-leaning perspective, and the psychology of ideological conformity. It will especially appeal to those who are concerned about media influence, institutional messaging, public health narratives, debates over gender and race, and Second Amendment politics. The book offers practical benefits by giving readers a vocabulary for identifying repetition, fear appeals, moral coercion, and social penalties as tools of persuasion. Its intellectual benefit is that it connects current political disputes to older patterns of mass control, making the subject feel larger than ordinary partisan disagreement. Compared with more academic books on propaganda, its style is more direct, accessible, and polemical. Compared with many campaign-style political books, it stands out by grounding its argument in historical examples of totalitarian conditioning and psychological pressure. Its main limitation is also part of its identity. It focuses heavily on the political left and is unlikely to satisfy readers seeking a balanced analysis of manipulation across the ideological spectrum. For its intended audience, however, that directness is central to its appeal. The book distinguishes itself by combining intelligence experience, conservative cultural critique, and a practical warning about how citizens can lose confidence in their own judgment under sustained narrative pressure. If you would like to support Buck Sexton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.